We'd like to reconvene into open session. If we could have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a roll call, please.
Director Rogalski?
Present.
Director Bogo?
Present.
Director Wright?
Here.
Vice President Baltimore?
Present.
President Newhart?
Here.
Thank you.
All right. Can we receive our report out of closed session?
Yes. President Newhart, members of the board, staff, and audience, the board did go into closed session at 6 p.m. tonight under Government Code Section 54956.9A to talk about existing litigation. We discussed three separate cases. The first, commonly known as a bankruptcy case, the second known as a groundwater adjudication case, and the third being entitled Core Family Properties versus LOCSD, which is a cross complaint in the county versus Core. In each of those matters, they did hear a report from counsel but took no reportable action. We also went into closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957 for conference with labor negotiator, district negotiators, Vice President Baltimore and Director Vogel, and the employee organization known as SLOCIA. The board heard a report but took no reportable action.
Thank you. At this time, we'll have public comment for items not on the agenda. Do we have any public comment for items not on the agenda tonight?
Good evening, Lindy Owen from Los Osos. I guess I'm pretty much just going to speak on the same subject that I spoke last time, and that's the failure to really keep our community involved in what's going on with this $200 million sewer project, the largest in the county history. The fact that there are, I think it's $2.2 million set aside for PR and education to the public to help this project go smoother is certainly a question as to where is it being spent. We did get a second glossy flyer with more information about the toilet retrofits, but I personally couldn't quite understand that it was very complicated, and I think it takes a phone call to the county to find out what you're eligible for, because I don't know if anybody could understand the details they have in that brochure. But I live on 10th Street, and it's definitely a war zone. The war construction people are there, and I watched a complete lateral installation into my property yesterday for an hour and a half. But when they left, I went out and I had to tamp down some of the ground. They're not smoothing things over, and if you want to just see a really rough zone of sewer installation work that's not being taken care of at the end of the day, it's not smoothed over. I was stomping and I went half a foot deep into one loose pile of mud and dirt just trying to get it even. So I'm going to take some pictures and take them over and say this is, I mean, for at least you could have a steamroller come over and make it all smooth again where we're supposed to be walking and parking. So anyway, I know the project is complicated. And my other concern is that when we get into the dewatering zones, there was always talk of a hybrid system, and that would have been directional boring. And I'm just afraid that it's not being talked about enough because the sheer thought of losing 8 million gallons a day during a dewatering process of an area of high groundwater is just surreal to think that there's really no place to put that amount of water, and it may end up in the bay if regional board allows it. But this is a real bad sign of no planning. And so I urge that we look at for the native middens and things rather than break them open and try to put these giant gravity sewers down them, that we really push. This CSD should be having a voice.
Explanations from the county on why Dig Los Osos is not really reaching out to the citizens, they don't make sense. I'm not buying it, but I sure am paying for it. Something that I've mentioned the last 8-10 years at this microphone and is the ISJ, the gentleman's agreement, the water management. I know you have nothing to report out of closed session, but maybe again we can have an update on where the groundwater management plan is. You did say in, say, December that it would be here end of March. March is gone. I would like to see it. I see a lot of activity around the bankruptcy, a lot of closed session. I'd like to know, we had heard a date for scheduling of a hearing in December. With all this activity, I'm curious if that date has been moved up. Something that you might not know if you're not watching the board agendas, this board of supervisors agendas, is this Tuesday another ag contract is being let. Now, at $100 an acre foot. And when they say that the purveyors are okay with it because it's not in your service area, that's the wrong answer. The purveyors should not be okay with it because it is within our basin. And how that reuse water is being sold, manipulated, managed is definitely within your purview and should absolutely be on the table as for a discussion. And I want to see somebody representing this district at the board on Tuesday to show the backbone of this community that this is not how we intended to use our reuse water for farmers that don't benefit the seawater intrusion.
Richard Margaretson, there'll be other opportunities tonight to talk about district issues. I just wanted to talk for a minute about something that recently happened at our People Helping People Scottish-Irish fundraiser last month. Every year, People Helping People announces a Person of the Year and a Volunteer of the Year. We usually do that in October at our fundraiser in October. This year we moved the Person of the Year announcement up partially to surprise the person, because I think if they had found out about it, they would have tried to squash the idea. But everybody that was involved stayed off emails, and it was kept a secret for almost a month. And after we ate and before the band played, we had a raffle, and at the end of the raffle, we had a surprise announcement, and our Person of the Year this year was Jerry Walsh. Long overdue for this community to have recognized her. I think some of you that have been here for a long period of time know the number of councils and committees she's participated in. She's held every position at one time or another at the Chamber of Commerce. She's been on the Community Center Board until she recently resigned from that. She was on there for almost 10 years. She was president of People Helping People since 2007, has recently stepped down to the past president position. She was involved in the estuary program. She was on CSA 9, I think, with Mike, wasn't she, at that time?
Yeah.
She's also the co-founder of the Needs and Wishes Holiday Fundraiser here at the Community Center in December after the Christmas parade. I could go on and on. Well-deserved. I just wanted to announce that for those that hadn't either seen it, seen an email about it, or seen it in the paper. Well-deserved. If you see her, congratulate her. She's still embarrassed about it, but it was a pretty impressive presentation and And great response. We had over 140 people showed up for that event. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any more public comment? Seeing none, we're going to move on into the administrative and committee reports. First up, good timing, Chief.
In addition to the chipping program up there, we're announcing in cooperation with the CSD and the Utilities Department, as well as a focus group, San Luis Fire Safe Council once again, and CAL FIRE, a chipping week in the district. It'll be very similar to what's been happening in the past, in that we'll have a chipper, we'll have a crew that will be able to go out and chip on-site, and that will be June 3rd through June 6th. There are sign-up sheets in the back of the building here today. You can get them online through the CSD's website, at the Emergency Services website, through the districts, and you can also pick them up at front office and at Station 15. If you have additional questions regarding how it will work, you can contact the station. We'd be happy to help you out. The phone number there is 805-528-1053. The emphasis of this chipping will be in the wildland areas. On the back of the handout that you have before you shows a couple different areas. We're going to try and concentrate on the Cabrillo Heights area, the Highland area, and the Bayview Heights area. But we'll be chipping in any of the areas if folks have piles cut. To do this, you'll sign up a quick little service request. We ask that all the work be done and the piles be out near the road. The crew will show up and chip on site. So, getting into the February 2013 Chief's Report, in the month of February, CAL FIRE Station 15 South Bay responded to a total of 87 calls. Four of those were simultaneous calls or back-to-back calls. Two of the simultaneous calls required advanced life support from the paramedics up there. 66 calls were medical aid, 34 of those requiring advanced life support. One incident was a traffic accident, and four reported as fires, with various other incidents also being reported. Company 15 came back a total of six times to support the station or to respond to emergencies. In the month of February, Station 15 started two Morro Bay High School Workability Program students. These are high school students that are looking for a career in the fire service, and so they are volunteering at the station 2 days a week each. The students are being trained in fire station and equipment maintenance, medical and fire training, as well as office and phone etiquette, filing, customer service. We're trying to round them out in all of their job skills. In the month of February, as previously reported, we purchased two King laryngoscopes on the Fireman's Fund Heritage Program grant. Miners Hardware donated some additional carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. The grant bought some, so we have a total of 45 up there to receive a carbon monoxide and smoke detector. There's information on the website or stop by Station 15. Those are grant-funded and free of charge with special emphasis on low-income and senior citizens in the mobile homes, but it's available to any Los Osos resident. The third and final purchase under that Fireman's Fund grant was scheduled to be purchased in March, and I can report that they were boots, structural firefighting boots, and I can report right now that we do have them, and you'll have more detail in my next chief's report. On the 18th, fire apparatus engineer Chris Peterson was promoted to fire captain paramedic. He's been in the fire station there for 8 years and replaces Fred Haberkern, who retired earlier this year. Chris is a great guy. He's been there a long time. He knows the district. He knows the people here, knows the program, and has assumed the position of a fire captain with flawlessly. On February 23rd, Medic Engine 15 received its annual pump test. We're required to pump test them every year. It's a 1,500-gallon per minute pump. I can tell you that it exceeded that and met all the standards that we looked for. So it's a very sound pump, and I'm sure it'll produce the next 8 or 9 years is what we're looking for now. And February 13th through the 15th, a couple of the folks up there, Colwell and Engineer Peterson, attended a continued professional training course. We've been detailing that through the year, so I won't go into that for you. We continued with training of the prospective Station 15 South Bay Reserve firefighters in the month of February. They did some confined space awareness courses and some CPR courses and started their paid call firefighter academy. On the 14th, we participated in the Los Osos Middle School Career Day. That's always a fun event. You know, the engines go down there. We get a bunch of stuff out and work with the eighth graders and try and get them into the mood of being a firefighter. On the February 22nd, 12 of the self-contained breathing apparatus received their annual maintenance. Typically, that was something that CAL FIRE had done in the past. This is a little bit different animal when we went to the 4,500-pound bottles. So we're hiring a contractor now, and that will be the process in the future. Fire prevention-wise,
you're going to be recognized. That's not included in your staff report here.
That is not included in my staff report, no.
I thought I might bring it up.
Thank you.
I know that Chris Peterson's getting recognized this Friday, but also Chief Vanaris is being recognized for 25 years of service next Friday, 3:30, Board of Supervisors Chambers, a week from tomorrow. So okay. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, we'll have the Utilities Department report, please.
Okay, good evening, President Moodhart. Oh, can you hear me? Okay, good evening, President Moodhart, board and staff and the public. I'm here to report on the Utilities Department. My name is Margaret Faulkner. This is for the month of February 2013. The total production for the month of February was 14.9 million gallons, which equates to an average daily demand of 498,000 gallons. And this represents a decrease from last year by 15.4%. 43% of the service area received bills for the period of January 11th through March 10th for 12.7 million gallons of consumption, which generated a revenue of $95.488. And this represents a decrease by 9.3% and 14% respectively. So on the bottom of the first page, our production is broken down by the well site and compared to last year along with the pump runtime hours. And you can see we have been reducing pumping at Palisades and have increased 3rd Street and South Bay Lower. So in addition to the regular compliance tasks that the crew does, they responded to a water main break on 17th and Santa Isabel. They repaired a service line on 7th Street and attended training on the new handheld meter reading devices. So staff submitted the monthly compliance report to the Department of Public Health with no violations noted. As far as drainage is concerned, that during the February, crews performed groundskeeping at the drainage basins and had a pump repaired at 8th Street Drainage Facility. And staff is working on the annual report for the District Stormwater Management Program to the Regional Board. That's for the period of February 1st through January 31st. And this is due at the end of April. So I'll get it done next week. And as far as solid waste is concerned, Mission Country Disposal is working around the wastewater project crews by picking up trash earlier. So they're beginning at 5:30 in the morning. And the district has a map on the front window of the district front office that shows where where they are at different days of the week. And we have notices. I've put some notices on the back table, and you all have one here too. There's website notice, the Channel 20, and rotary sign, and then the contractors also have signs as you're coming in and out of Los Osos, so people are aware that the trash will be picked up a little bit earlier. And this way, they get out there before the contractors have removed all the trench plates, and it's better for safety reasons. If you have any questions about it, you can call Mission Country Disposal at 927-4995. So this concludes my report for February for the Utilities Department. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Any questions from the board?
Nope.
Okay, thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
We have the LOCAC report. Looks like Paul, are you here for that? Or Okay, so seeing no other LOCAC members here, is there any other comments? Okay. We will move on to the Emergency Services Advisory Committee meeting report.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we actually met twice since our last board meeting, March 26th and then this week, April 16th. On the 26th, we convened and we met the new alternate committee member, Dave Doust. Dave is a retired fire captain from Toronto, Canada, and he's a welcome addition to the committee. We received the February 26th meeting minutes, no changes, and we accepted and filed. We reviewed the fire count, financials, and the committee recommended that we, the board, accept. We discussed the placement of the fire facility fee. The OCD was at Heritage, and we were hoping to move it to Rabobank, but Rabobank misquoted the interest rate, and so Interim General Manager Faulkner was to research that, and she did report back at the April meeting that Heritage will be able to give us at 4.1, and we're proceeding ahead with that. We also then reviewed the 2013-14 draft budget that's moving forward, and Committee Member Tacker and Vice Chairman Olhisky are working on this, and the path is to get us a Section 7 permit. The Chief gave us an update on the new fire truck, and also on the 16th, and that's going to be moving from South Dakota to Los Angeles for some detail work, hopefully next week. And also we reviewed the Fire Department February 2013 report, and we adjourned at 7:03. For the 16th, like I said, we did discuss, we had the minutes of 3:26, and we approved them. We also discussed the fire facilities fee, and as I stated, Margaret informed us that she can get it at the 0.41%. The value is roughly $54,000 right now. Also, Phil and Harmony Brown, the admin, put together a handout and distributed that to us, showing the history of the special fire tax and the CAL FIRE Schedule A since they started with us. And the handouts, I believe there's some in the back of the room and also the board. You have. Yeah, that's a very good historical breakdown of everything. Like I said, the wildfire protection plan is still a work in progress. Julie Tacker and Marshall will be getting back to us. And the concept is we're going to try to dual track with the county on information so that we can keep our costs down. We also had a discussion about the fire flow map project. We're trying to get the fire flow maps updated. They're out of date. CSD has updated a lot of our hydrants, and so has S&T Mutual. Golden State provided us information, but theirs is a different format, so Chief is going to have to work with that to get that all put together. And our next meeting is set for May 21st. And the other item was in the closing public and community comments. And we'd like to remind people on the board that we'd like to have a joint ESAC and FAC meeting regarding the admin costs. That's one of our goals this year. So I think we probably should wait till after the budget. That concludes my report.
Great. Thank you. Any questions from the board? Okay. Next, we'll go on to the Utilities Advisory Committee report.
Okay. March 13th meeting. Interim General Manager Faulkner explained about the district's water conservation plan, gave a presentation, discussed focus. The committee just looked at focusing on outdoor water conservation usage, worked with landscapers to promote xeriscaping workshops on ocean-friendly landscapes, which would address drainage issues, turf removal incentives, extensive educational information on Channel 20, partnering with nonprofits such as Audubon and Slow Greenville, garden tours, and meet with the county on status of the county's plan. We had public comment. Richard Margeson disagreed with spending additional monies updating the Bedouse report. Committee recommended the board send a letter to the county requesting a meeting to discuss specific issues, including properties within the district boundaries that have been retrofitted in order to merge those numbers into the district's plan, and discuss the need to investigate other opportunities to partner with nonprofits to provide advice on landscaping or explore small-scale retrofitting of turf, and this could be led by the district staff. And that was the discussion of the water conservation plan. There was a subcommittee report on emergency water shortage ordinance, and subcommittee member Ron Munns reported on his discussions with district engineer Rob Miller pertaining to the emergency water shortage ordinance. He reported he'd submitted to the interim general manager a short-term emergency response plan for water shortage, which would revolve around regional power outages, earthquakes, floods, and winter storms. This would be standard operating procedure when the district experiences one of these short-term events. The long-term plan, which would be drought-driven or more catastrophic, such as contamination of the water supply, was a two-prong approach. One would be weather-driven with triggers based on rainfall. The other would be water quality triggers based on chloride levels, evidence of seawater intrusion, or other contaminants that might show up. Committee member Roques inquired as to the time frame for the subcommittee completing the triggers and moving into the action levels, and subcommittee member Munns responded it was based on receiving well data from Golden State. There, we received public comment, and that was the...
I appreciate his input. Even being a rookie, you let your presence be known, so I appreciate that. I think it's always helpful to have as many members of the community participate as possible, and I really appreciate Paul's volunteering for that committee and being willing to serve on it. Pretty much, you know, first thing is we did approve the previous minutes, and then in accordance with normal policy, we reviewed the warrant register. After a discussion, the committee recommended that the board receive and file the warrant register. We reviewed the financial statements, the investment schedule, and the reserve schedule. The committee recommended that the board receive and file those financial reports. Both those previous items are on your consent calendar for tonight, as is usual. There was also a discussion about the increase in the fire tax rate for fiscal year 2013-14. The committee recommended that the item be forwarded to the board for adoption. Then there was some lengthy discussion about the public hearings to increase service charges for the maintenance of the septic systems in both Bay Ridge Estates and Vista de Oro. And after some discussion about the verbiage in the staff report, the committee requested that staff amend the staff report and the attachments to make sure that there was no confusion and no errors in the staff reports, and recommended that the board approve the issuance of the notices of public hearing. Then they discussed the board item regarding the authorization to purchase new server and approve a budget adjustment to accomplish that. The committee did recommend that the board authorize the purchase of a new server and approve budget adjustments. But also as a part of that discussion, the committee requested that staff establish a policy. Actually, the committee would have to request that the president ask the staff to establish a policy. But the committee believed that there should be a policy for the replacement of computer and electronic equipment. So we're just not coming up to the end and then all of a sudden having to deal with a crisis. So we can manage that and have a schedule developed when we know we'll have replacements. To put it in different context, it's similar to what we do with the fire equipment, because we have a schedule out there and we amortize out the life so we know when they need to be replaced and we can plan ahead. And the Financial Advisory Committee thought that it was important to develop that same kind of program and schedule for our server facilities. The committee also looked at the authorization to purchase new utility billing software, and they recommend that the board authorize the purchase of the new utility billing software. quite frankly, it was a little bit of an eye-opener, I think, for President Moodhart and myself to find out how antiquated the software that we presently use is. So we think this will be moving us into the current generation of software. There was a review of the board item regarding the valve replacement. After some discussion, the committee recommended that the board approve the contract for R. Baker for the valve replacement. We also had an update on the fire engine, and we did discuss the other committee reports, the ESAC report. There was some public comment, and primarily on the public comment, the desire to have a discussion with the Financial Advisory Committee regarding the allocation of the administrative fees with the Emergency Services Advisory Committee. At the last comment, then, we requested an update on the Community Foundation monies that have been set aside and dedicated for lateral improvements in the community of Los Osos. We wanted to get an update on how much money was in that fund and how that fund was going to be allocated or distributed to the community for connection to the wastewater project. That pretty much was it.
Okay. Any questions? I have a comment. Well, actually, I would like to direct staff to establish a policy for replacement of computer and electronic equipment, as was discussed. And yes, the new software and the new hardware that we're looking into have a number of efficiencies built into it that will add additional cost savings. Could, you know, I don't want to say for sure, but will probably pay for itself very shortly just with those things. And the policy, of course, is so that we don't run into this problem again. We replace our hardware and software equipment in a timely manner. With that, we have item G, which is director's announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs or conferences, and seminars. Do we have any of those for this past month? So, Director Vogel, motion.
And, we'll,
yeah.
And public comment.
You have to have public comment on that before you act on that.
Right, public comment on the motion.
Oh. Okay.
I'm taking it off the consent agenda.
Right.
Yeah.
Continuing.
Yes.
Okay. Can I have public comment on continuing item E from the consent agenda?
Richard Margetson, I'm curious why this didn't come up at finance to continue this discussion. I think emergency services believed this was, you know, a slam dunk. This was on the finance agenda, and there was opportunity to ask staff or, you know, to have had staff there to answer the question. I'm a little curious where this is going. You know, if we're not going to have the discussion about a serious discussion about the allocations, but now all of a sudden we're going to have a serious discussion about $11,000 CPI increase,
Is there any more public comment? I could just make I'll reiterate my comments before Richard. This just has to do with my edification. There's nothing up. Okay. Now we go into.
We need a vote. Right.
For now, you need a motion.
No, I already got a motion and a second.
Okay. Got it.
And now a vote.
I didn't get the motion, and I'm sorry. Who made the motion?
Director Vogel made the motion.
Second.
And
to continue at the next meeting, is that the motion?
The next meeting's in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yes.
Well, if I could just ask another question. What kind of edification did you think was
needed. But then it's a discussion.
What's that?
We're not discussing it. Are
discussing the motion.
You're discussing.
Discuss the motion.
Yeah.
In the staff report, it just says. I know. There's a great need to be filled. I'd like to kind of find out what that great need is, and what types of things this money's going to go for, and I'd like to know if for in the future what types of things this money can go for. That's my reasoning. That's about it. Okay, where am I?
Roll call vote.
Roll call vote. We
Director
got it.
Director Boga?
Yes.
Director Ohilski?
I want to clarify this, though, first of all. We are talking about agendizing this in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks,
okay.
Yeah. It's just to continue.
So it's not just going out in an indeterminate
right.
period
Correct.
Of time. All right, then I'll vote yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Yes.
President Newdart?
Yes. Okay, now I believe we go to public comment. For
does anybody want to pull
any? No, okay, does anybody else want to pull any other items on the consent agenda?
No.
All right. Now we'll go to public comment for items on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda.
Julie Tacker. I wanted to, a couple months ago we talked about the stolen water. I'm kind of putting this under the utility report. The stolen water for dust control. And I haven't had a satisfactory answer to tell me that we're no longer using potable water for dust control. I understand from Margaret that our district is not selling potable water for that purpose, but I haven't got a definitive from Golden State, and actually heard back from a conversation at the Water Board that John Waddell said that Golden State is selling potable water for dust control. And so as an ISJ partner, this is where you do have some being a good partner, you would encourage them not to do, to know where the salinity from that water is going to go. I'll fast forward. I am on the Emergency Services Committee. We had a lengthy discussion. I made the motion that we do have a joint meeting with the Finance Advisory Committee to discuss the administration allocations throughout the funds. And never did we say after the budget. And it was implied that maybe we should even wait till after the bankruptcy. But this conversation needs to take place. This has been put off for 10 years. We need to have the conversation. Whether we implement any changes is entirely up to the board. So let's get some formulas out there, and even incremental change could take place as soon as this budget cycle. So why we're waiting, we've been waiting for years, and it needs to take place, and we're willing to do it. Finance is willing to do it. I'll be there with bells on.
Thank you.
Mr. President, Paul Malakant. As Director Ohilski pointed out, I am a rookie. Therefore, I speak from an abundance of ignorance. But I do want to point out that at my brief understanding at our Finance Committee meeting was that we did not have a quorum. And these, when Member Simonson and I informally approved the items on the agenda, it was our understanding that it was my understanding that we were doing this as a procedural matter to move the meeting forward. I don't know the rules of the committee. I don't know the rules of this board sufficiently well. I assume that the board has the authority to move with or without committee approvals, but I just want to make clear that it was, at least to my understanding, it was an informal approval. It was understood that it was not one that was binding on the committee since there was not a quorum. Thank you for your time.
You should be able to... I don't know.
Maybe you want to respond to that first.
Paul, just to clarify, none of our boards can take action, or pardon me, none of our committees can take actions. All they can do is make recommendations to this board. Mm-hmm. So the recommendation is made regardless of whether there's a quorum or not. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Lindy Owen, I did have a number of little issues to bring up. I believe the ISJ should be talking about the amount of water that's being pulled from our aquifer for dust control. I asked the guy that was spraying a whole tanker full of water up and down my street where they were getting the water, just out of curiosity, and he says, from underneath you. And I said, but that's our drinking supply and our future drinking supply. And he goes, well, I don't know, that's where it's coming from. And I said, metered? And he said that they are getting it metered. So the dewatering, there is no dewatering unless they were pulling it out of a ditch behind Vaughn's there. That's pretty filthy water if anybody took a look inside that fence where it was being dumped. So it's a huge concern to me. And again, why are they, the county says it's not their responsibility, it's the contractor's responsibility where they get the water from. It should have been set up that they were getting upper aquifer water if they were going to use any water out of our aquifer, because that's nitrated, and I just don't want our drinking supplies sucked out any further. I wanted to go to Channel 20 that was discussed, that our equipment is pretty much set up to be coming to us, I believe, but I made the sad mistake of turning it on last night out of curiosity, and I could only listen to it for 10 minutes. I don't know what is going on, but they're putting public service messages, just audio, on top of the rolling, you know, that you guys do a great job putting these things on, but there's not music on. There's just three public service messages, which are very annoying, and then a really bad song, and it's in a loop. And that's all there is. There is nothing on that television. And I just sat and thought, you know, we have 30,000 out of our water utilities set aside for education on conservation. And I really think that we need to, at our next utilities meeting, discuss about maybe getting somebody to come in from the outside. Our staff is overwhelmed with too much right now. But somebody needs to get on to making that a little bit more community level interaction. There's so many things we could do. We own a TV station, and it should not be what's on there. I hope that we can at least get some nice music in the background instead of the public service things, unless they want to put a visual.
That's not really a true reflection of what happened that night, but I'll leave that alone. David mentioned the Madawis report. I don't know if anybody has seen the county update for February, but we told you repeatedly, we've told the Board of Supervisors repeatedly that conservation plan was messed up from the start. The prediction in that report is that 400, as an example, that 400 washing machines would be replaced in the first year. In fact, for the next 5 years, every year 400 washing machines would be replaced based on this $150 incentive. Through the end of February, if you haven't seen the report, three. So I got a lot of catching up to do in the next 10 months. That's just one of the things that your subcommittee, that we worked on. Ron Munz and I sat down with the Madawis report more than a year ago and gave comments to this board. You sent a letter on to the county
They didn't do anything with it. They came back, changed some administrative fees. But they actually, in the washing machine category, they increased the number of washing machines they thought were going to be replaced from 333 to 400. That's the reason I want to comment on item G under administrative and committee reports, directors' participation in outside meetings. There were no reports. I'm curious as to when this board is going to go to the Board of Supervisors, and I'm taking Leonard out of the equation because he's done that once, and he talked about these issues. But when this board is going to go to the Board of Supervisors and represent this community, these things that we have brought up at this microphone and at that microphone are now all starting to come to fruition. All of them, one after another. And you guys aren't there. And I hate to keep bitching at you about it, but you're the elected representatives from this community. You're the elected representatives. We're not.
Thank you. Thank you. Move on to the consent agenda. For this, do we have any questions from the board regarding this? Any?
Actually, two comments. So, one, the use of the conservation funds, water conservation funds, on Channel 20, and that's a good idea. And maybe Director Vogel and I can remember to agendize that for the UAC. And a joint meeting with finance with the UAC. Again, I don't know of any. I keep on hearing how it wants to be done, so maybe we just do it.
Okay.
Just coming.
All right. Very good.
Ready to make a motion.
Okay. Could I have a motion, please?
I'll make a motion to accept the administrative reports, the committee reports, and the consent items.
I'll second.
Okay. So we have a motion by Director Ohilski and second by Director Wright. Okay, so at this point we will move into.
We need to vote. I'm sorry.
Say it louder. Just keep you moving. All right.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Yes.
President Muthart?
Yes.
Thank you.
Move into the general action items now. Action item A, could I have a report on that? Or first up, yeah.
Good evening. Tonight, before you, we have the, we're asking the board to approve a notice of public hearing to be sent to the property owner served by the dedicated septic service system with Bay Ridge Estate Subdivision. And this would include an increase of $172 per year per parcel, bringing the new rate to $373 per parcel. And this is a loan to pay for some of the emergency repairs. So that's why this is before your board tonight. Sorry.
Questions from the board?
I have one. As far as the after the protest hearing, assuming a positive outcome, how soon before the bills will be adjusted?
We want to get them on next year's tax roll, so it would be in July.
July?
Yeah.
Okay. So it'll be on the. This comes off the property tax roll?
Yes, the assessment.
Okay. Yeah. And then mechanically, what happens when the county, through the project, takes over these two? How does that. Does that just come off automatically, or do
there's you'll see in the motion that the service charge will be other than for the portion of street lighting. They'll be effective once the fund settles all its liabilities for operations and capital improvements. needed for connection and conversion to the county sewer system.
Okay, I see. Thank you.
I just, you haven't.
Just please refresh my memory. What percentage of the owners need to make their voice known?
51%.
51?
It's a protest hearing.
Right.
Yes.
I understand.
Yes.
And I just want to state for the record, we have had problems with this, but we've fixed them all.
We do. We have no choice.
So I just want to know this. It's not a disrepairable system. It's in good shape. We just need to be able to pay the bills for keeping it that way.
Yeah.
Right, right. If I could just say that in my own words also, is that the systems are in good repair. It's just that the people using them have not paid their fair share. People outside the areas have been paying the cost in order to keep them in good repair.
I think my concern, I'm glad we're doing this, because I'm tired of us as CSD in general subsidizing those two communities. You know, it's not their fault per se, but even still, we are subsidizing them, and it's not fair to the rest of the CSD. So I'm glad we're doing this.
Okay, we're going to go to public comment now.
Julie, I've sat on this board, and we struggled with the depleting of these funds over time. We were actually maintaining them on a more rigorous schedule. At the time, I remember legal counsel telling us that we would have to go through the full 218 and reassessment district kind of 218. And it appears that you have a different philosophy now, and I'd like to know more about that, maybe the change in philosophy of why, because this obviously should have been done years ago. Just a quick correction, we outside these areas haven't paid yet, but we're on the brink of having to unless these rates increase. So that's how I understand why the need to do it and do it now. A question I have about the collection systems, they're nearing their lifespan, and I don't know what their system, what their situation right now. They're made of clay. What's the future for them? Are they going to be lined with plastic? And then, you know, there's a cost associated with that. So the idea that these homes are somehow off the hook as far as having to pay less than the rest of us outside in the prohibition zone, but outside these subdivisions, there's still going to be a need to have them pay for their own systems. So I think it's fair to share the whole picture, and I don't know that the county has. I know you guys have camered and different things with the collection system, but I haven't heard the report on how much life is left in those collection systems, and would they need to be replaced or just sleeved, and what costs are facing these two subdivisions. And I'll just say this now because it applies to both.
Thank you, Mr. President. We had some conversations about the calculations that were presented at Finance Committee, and there were some discussions about how to make them more. If it's merely arithmetic, then it doesn't work. And the only reading glasses I have are dark glasses, so I can't read very well with them. So maybe we get some clarification. My question is whether or not that's a proportionate calculation or arithmetic. And if it's proportionate, then the senator from Bay Ridge recedes.
Okay. All right. Well, you can think about your answer for a minute. We'll finish up public comment, and then you can comment on that.
Thank you.
Lindy Owen, I just wanted to bring up something that sort of jumps out at me, and the fact that both of these are old systems, and their collection systems for sure are beginning to fail and will need replacement. It's interesting that the county will be taking over these two areas and they'll be hooking into the sewer. They have discounted costs for their collection system because they've already paid and it's been installed. But this line here, and it's mentioned a little bit later, that the county will eventually take over the system. We understand it's when the sewer goes online, it will switch to the county's collect part of the collection system, correct? So the question to me is, the system will be inspected to make sure it meets acceptable standards. If there are improvements that are needed to meet this requirement, there are no funds available currently because of the lack of CPI and increase over the years to bring it up to the actual cost that it takes to maintain that both of those systems. But when we, as a CSD, took over the county's system, it was a piece of junk. Our water system was bad, and I don't know what state those two collection areas were in, but it just seems very ironic that the county's has an opportunity to charge us with bringing them up to some standard. And I think there needs to be a discussion about where that collection system sits, whether the homeowners will have to be looking at a replacement. They should know ahead of time what's coming their way. And I know that what we're talking about more is our end, which is the treatment of the solids when they come into our septic fields and leach fields. So, but I really think the homeowners need to have a little more information about the state of their collection systems and kind of what the county... I just wish there was more of a interaction with our county, but obviously that hasn't worked well. So I just want to throw that out because I think that's an extra cost that these homeowners don't expect. And, you know, I would see that this should pass because it is just a cost that is going to cost other ratepayers in the district if we can't get the 218 passed. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson. I'm a little concerned that I'm a little concerned the way this is presented. Sorry. You're making the argument that the CPI is, because there was no CPI, is the reason we're behind. That's partially true. But if these residents look at Exhibit B, with the CPI, the rate would be almost 292 this year. And you're asking them for 373. And I'm only talking about, because I guess you're taking public comment on both these separately, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's a big difference. And I think there needs to be some explanation about the second part of the motion. Until this fund settles all its liabilities for operation and capital improvements needed for connection and conversion to the county's sewer system. What if that connection ends up being an astronomical cost? How many more years do they continue at this new rate to do those infrastructure improvements for connection? I don't know if the system has to be pressure tested to connect to the new system or whatever. Anyway, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Margaret can correct me. Isn't this the first year that the fund is actually running a deficit that money had to be borrowed? I mean, Craig brought up about the rest of the community is paying for this. In the breakdown of the $25,284 increased revenue,
1120 is the payback of the internal loan over 3 years. That's only $3,360. And I don't think there's any thing for Bay Ridge at this point. I think Bay Ridge Vista is just hitting that point this year. It's been deficit spending, but it's been deficit spending out of reserves for those funds. It hasn't been, we haven't been pulling money, you know, over the last 5-6 years out of the administrative fund or the water department. And then I also remember, I thought there was discussion about having some type of town hall meeting for these two subdivisions for the district to explain what they're in for, you know, what this is all about, and give them a true explanation. I mean, now you've got the notice out there. I think it's too late. Can I just finish this comment?
Quickly, please.
You're talking about two very small subdivisions, and with this explanation, 73 people, 73 households, somebody's going to call a meeting at somebody's house with this amount of increase, and they're going to have a serious discussion. This isn't a slam dunk.
Thank you. Any more public comment? Okay. Let's bring it back to the board for some discussion here.
Well, we're taking these separate?
We're taking these separate.
Okay. Well, just to address Bay Ridge, if you take a look at Exhibit A, you see the actual operating costs. There was a negative 39.14 in 2010-11, a bump up in 2011-12, and the projection for 12-13 is a deficit of 61. And that's where this is coming from, because there's a structural deficit. And then for the other, this is Bay Ridge, and Vista had some more serious repair work. And so it's one of those things that has to be done.
Yes, please.
No, I did just a couple of comments. I think on that Exhibit A that Michael had just referred to, I think that box above the bottom box is the telling box, quite frankly, where it says, since takeover from the county in 1999, there have not been any increase. I mean, nobody can imagine that after 14 years that there's not going to have to be an increase in anything. So I think that's the telling argument. But the second issue I want to bring up is, it's my understanding the people in Bay Ridge and Vista were actually assessed less for the sewer project than the people outside of it. So there is the reduction in their assessment because of the infrastructure that's in place. Now, granted, I don't know what kind of improvements will need to be made long term, but the expectation is that since, it's the county's expectation, since they're being charged less, that they're going to have less infrastructure improvements. So I think those are the two things that I just wanted to lay on the table.
Okay. Craig?
Yeah. So let me see if I understand this right. So the current assessment for Bay Ridge up until 2009 covered all its cost. From 1999, no, that's not right. So loans or cost did it incur, did Bay Ridge incur from 1999 to 2009?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
Well,
you have to go to speaker.
You need to go to the mic.
I didn't present all the years. That's 14 columns.
Okay.
But I just wanted to show, I think the last 4 years shows how much is being lost every year. And that's really all I wanted to prove, is now we have to come up with a plan to fill up that okay. loss.
Okay. So if there was losing money every year, where did that money come from to pay?
Is the beginning equity or any reserves? There were little reserves, but enough through the years. that were accumulated in the beginning, but it's all gone now, totally gone.
When did those reserves get depleted?
I cannot really say, but they don't exist anymore.
Okay, but what we see here, there's only been $3,300 in interdepartmental loans.
Mm-hmm.
So the other ones was just the good nature of the reserves were depleted long ago. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Well,
so the deficits?
There were. In the audit report of last year, I didn't bring the audit report. There were some equity at the year end, but it's all used up. If you look at the financial report, there's a portion in there at the very bottom that says use a beginning equity. Let me get my report.
Okay.
Okay, on page, this is the line item income statement for Bay Ridge. On page 8, so that's it probably is page 9 there, I cannot read it. There is a caption in there that says beginning equities used for funding, and the budget for this year is $11,512.
Okay, where do beginning equities come from? Are we like the United States? Do we make our own money?
No, it comes from the audit report. There is a year-end equity. Your equities can either be reserves, designation, or undesignated equity. So just the net worth of the fund at the year-end. That's a beginning equity.
This is not making sense to me in the sense that if the fund only owes $3,300, then it sounds like it only needs $3,300 a year to meet its budget.
No, because already this year the budget says that we are using $11,512 that is not funded by revenues. It is coming and using up everything it has.
Okay. But the point I'm just trying to make is that I do believe the people of Bay Ridge do want to pay their fair share. It's just trying to figure out what that is, what that fair share is.
Well, the Exhibit A...
I mean, because people will ask that question, and if I can't answer it now, how can I answer it if they ask me?
Well, if you look at Exhibit A, there is that subtotal in there, net change to fund balance, parentheses, deficit. That is the deficit each year. And if we have a deficit for this current year of almost $15,000, what will happen next year? It will be the same thing.
But don't we start off each year with $11,500 in equities?
There's none. It's gone. I'm trying to say. It has no more money.
Marshall, would you like to? Maybe we'll be able to clarify this.
First of all, I'd like to just state one thing. Our maintenance on those facilities have been reduced, so that's one of the ways that we're saving funds, because we're not doing the same maintenance that we were doing before. So I think that's one way that those funds have been reduced. But it seems to me that maybe what we need to do, and this is not a regular thing, but maybe what we need to do is get together a bunch of questions or comments and bring this back at our next meeting, because I think if it's not clear to us, it's certainly not going to be clear to the residents of those two subdivisions. And I'm talking about both right now. But it seems to me we almost should put together, and I'm sort of piggybacking on your comment about the fire tax. If it's not clear to us, then I think we should generate questions and comments, have staff come back with a clearer staff report.
But I don't think the time is there.
Well, we got 2 weeks till our next meeting only.
Oh, yeah, we got 2 weeks. Yeah, with that 2 weeks with the 45 days and all that.
I don't have a calendar. Because
we have to have it.
It just seems to me we're asking questions and we're going to try to rewrite these notices during our meeting, and I think that's problematic, quite frankly.
Yeah.
It does seem like that there's a clarity issue here.
Yeah. No, the need is definitely there.
Yeah, I don't think that's
it.
Yeah, that's...
Okay.
So
I would like that idea of wait 2 more weeks.
If we can, if it works for them.
I'm going to give Margaret, or I mean Ann, a little bit of time here to figure this out.
We're doing the
did the question get answered about the percent CPI per year?
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
She didn't.
Well, I think, you know, part of the issue, too, is definitions. It's like, what is, you know, equity, and what is revenue, what are expenses? That all has to be, you know, broken down, you know, so that us, for one, can understand it, and the people that live in the areas understand it also. And I do have another question projecting out. If this protest hearing fails, then what?
The district has to subsidize. We have to subsidize.
And so we are...
We subsidize.
Okay, that's important for everybody to know, is that we will still have to subsidize until the county takes it over.
Yeah, and the county is... They are working on it, but I don't think it's the highest priority for them. And even if everything went, you know, the best... Then you're still talking close to a year before they actually take it over.
Can you do it?
Do you have any? How are we on the date? Ampi, you go ahead.
Continuing the question, Mr. Baltimore, what will happen if this does not pass? Admin will have to give, will have to cover about 11,500 of loan. That's the bottom line. We will have to, you know, we will have to support it. I mean, there's no other way.
I'd still like to know if we can defer this for 2 weeks or not, and still meet the budgetary year or not.
I'm getting an affirmative.
We're getting head nods. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
In that case, I'd like to make a motion to continue after we have comments on the issues that we need to be addressed.
So that'd be continue items A and B?
We can't do both, but...
That would be my ultimate goal, yes, but we can only do one at a time.
And I move to continue item A to next meeting. Oh, okay.
Okay.
I second.
Okay, then we need public comment.
Okay, now that we have that, public comment? Just on the continue.
I'd like to understand the what you plan to do in those 2 weeks. You're going to develop questions, and then they're going to show up at the next meeting, or are you going to have answers to those questions sometime before? So the questions have to be submitted somewhere. Where's the public involved, and how do they submit their questions? And then to all have answers in those by the 2 weeks. And I guess, you know, nobody's disputing that there's a need. It's how you sell it without wasting your time, wasting your resources, and then still being set up to subsidize. So I want to participate in the questions. And how do we do that, or how does the public at home do that before you have a staff report ready to roll in just 2 weeks?
I'm just wondering, could, like, in the next 2 weeks, there be a special meeting for finance to sit and look at it and invite the public so that there is something drafted by the time you come to the meeting in 2 weeks?
And invite,
and possibly even stir up a little input from neighbors?
No.
I know it's short timing, but it sounds like it's really important to iron out what the issues are and, as Julie says, make it so that it's a successful 218, because you really can't afford to lose a 218 on this.
Richard Margetson, if you aren't setting it for hearing tonight, Couldn't there be some interaction with each of those subdivisions, informing them that you are proposing to come back and set a hearing in order to answer some of those questions for them, or not, maybe not answer, maybe they don't have the questions yet, but explain to them the issues that, you know, this is, you know, the rest of the community will be subsidizing you down the road. You know, I just think there's too many questions for you not to do it a way that is inclusive of those subdivisions. And, you know, looking through the budget where we're at right now, you know, there's still, in Bay Ridge, there's still an administrative draw this year of $8,709. You know, could something be done with that in order to help compensate for this increase to lower, I don't know. I think there's endless possibilities to make this more palatable. You know, even though they're going to get somewhat of a break on their sewer cost, it's still expensive for them too. And everything else is going up. Golden State's water rates are higher than ours. And now you're asking them for $373 in the one and $476 in the other. That, for a lot of people, is going to be hard to deal with. I just would like to know what the opportunities are in the next couple of weeks to include them, as opposed to just trying to figure a way to spin this.
Thank you. Okay, let's bring it back to the board for discussion. Any comment?
Well, hang on. I do. This is not spinning. This is trying to just get clarity.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, we have good people in these divisions. This is just clarity, no spinning.
Yeah.
I think one thing I'd like to see is somehow Exhibit A. This is financially technical. I mean, and a lot of people miss the nuances. So if there's some way to break this down into, you know, this is a narrative that we started in such and such year collecting this much, and the expenses this year are this way, and do it in a narrative manner, I think it'd be a lot easier for people to comprehend. You know, and then use this as the source document to back it up, the footnote, as it were. That's what I'd like to see, because it's easy to explain it narratively if that, okay, we had this much revenue, the expenses were this much this year, now this is where we are this coming year, et cetera. I think it'd be a lot easier. And again, use this as just the footnote.
I agree. It's Director Wright.
Any other comments? Because I agree. One thing I do agree with Mr. Markinson is there are endless possibilities, and we could go through this for a long time. I think our staff has gotten the idea of what we need. I think Director Wright and Director Baltimore summed it up very nicely. The bottom line is this needs to happen. This is very technical. Let's make it a little more palatable for the residents there. And I suggest that we proceed in 2 weeks with the revised. So I'd like to direct. Do I need a motion first?
You have a motion to continue.
I have a motion to continue. Can I direct staff to
the motion to continue with direction?
With direction. Okay.
So we need a vote.
All right. So let's take a vote.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Yes.
Director Bogle?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
President Muthart?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, Margaret?
Well, we're going to do the same thing with Vista. Do you want to do the same thing with Vista? Or do you want to go
here? Well, I think when we get there, we probably will will want that. But yes, so the direction is to come back with a staff report that is a little more narrative, and it can be understood maybe more clearly later.
Okay.
I think what we're looking for here is something that's more user-friendly. I understand this is technically correct, but it's just not user-friendly. I think, would you agree, Director Ray?
I do. I think it just needs to be, people can look at it and go, oh, I understand now that, you know, the CSD is now subsidizing me because expenses exceeded revenues on this date, and it's increasing, and here we are.
So are we talking about A now, or are we talking about B?
A.
A, okay.
I could talk about B, but I know you don't want me to.
I thought
it's on A.
Okay. Is it clear?
Yes.
All right. Good enough. Then we're going to move on to 12B.
I'm going to make the same motion, so if you want to put it in that context.
I'll second that.
What am I obliged to do here?
Is that a motion to continue with direction that's been seconded? Now you get public comment.
Okay. We're going to take public comment on the motion to continue item 12B.
Okay. Julie Tacker. My comments from 12A roll into 12B. I would like to point out that while some people characterize the difference for these subdivisions from what you and I are paying, the $25,000 for the majority of the prohibition zone versus I think it's like $17,000 for those in those subdivisions, those homes have been paying for over 30 years what sewer bills cost in some of our neighboring communities. So it's not really a discount. They have been paying, and they will continue to pay. And because of my concerns over their collection system, they may be up in the neighborhood of where we are in the $25,000 prohibition zone areas in the future. So that's why I'd like to see a larger picture painted for them so that they have a full understanding of certainly their obligation and their moral obligation to pay their fair share. But it's not really a discount that they are getting by having to pay less to hook up to the sewer. They've been paying all along. And I dug ditches to build the footings on the houses that are in those, went with my dad at age 7 years old. So I've seen a lot come and go out of there. But and there's been a lot of sewage processed there.
Richard Margetson. I guess we have a difference of opinion on this staff report, Craig, but if you had been at finance, I think you'd understand my comment. And I'm going to reiterate again. The increase based on the CPI on the Exhibit B would have gone from 216 to 313, not from 216 to 483. So, you know, if you want to have the honest discussion of how this number got there, you know, that could happen. But again, I'm going to ask, because I didn't hear a response, is there an opportunity to address these subdivisions before you come back in 2 weeks? You're not talking about the whole community on a water rate increase. You're talking about a small group. And studies show that getting a small group to protest something is significantly easier than getting a large group. And I know, Leonard, you say this has to happen. It does have to happen so it's not absorbed by another fund. But you guys need to make it happen. And that's going to be through some outreach before you actually set the hearing date.
Definitely outreach. Perhaps, again, I know staff has more than enough to keep them way busy, but I think an article explaining the position that the CSD is in with these two situations in the Bay News would at least lay the groundwork for people to understand this. And when we decide what happens in 2 weeks, but I would think an article that goes in, and that would give people a chance to come to the meeting in 2 weeks and have a little bit more of a public forum, because I really think Richard and Julie are right. You have to win them with the rational reasons why this is being done. And I just, they have been paying all these years to maintain and keep their the system that we're all about to get stuck with. But we've also been paying to have our septic tanks pumped and our leach fields rebuilt. And so we've all had some cost, but theirs is much more similar to what we'll be seeing in the future in everybody in Los Osos. So please, you know, an idea would be to work with Bay News, and I don't know, I wish we had a great PR person that could write those compelling articles, but I think the Bay News is the best venue, and try to do it this week so it could go into next week's. Thank you.
Okay. No more public comment. Bring it back to the board. Anybody have any comments on some of those ideas and that concept of trying to get out to the public? I mean,
Bay News is a good way of doing it, and I don't think there's active homeowners associations anymore. I know Vista doesn't, and Bayridge, that's a dead avenue. So, you know, newspaper article, press release, something, you know.
Maybe a press release might be a worthwhile thing. Do you have something, Mike?
No. Okay. If you're going to do a press release, though, it might be after you do this. You know, I don't know that you do it before. I don't know what that benefits you, quite frankly. And I'm just thinking out loud here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know. I mean, you have to have the language done here really first. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
Yeah, the more discussion goes back and forth and studying the numbers, taking in Ampy's comments, it's making more sense. And I just think it's just simply missing that layman's narrative and a press release beforehand. Mm-hmm. I mean, because, you know, as I understand this now, the budget for this is just that, and then at the end of the year, if there are monies left over, it moves over into this is how I see it, into an equity to help the next year out. And this year, no money's moved over because we were $3,300 short. And current estimates are we're going to be $20,000 short. $20,000 divided by, I'm just looking at Vista, divided by 73 is $267 per household. So it's just that simple narrative that's needed to be presented to the public. But before we do that, I need to confirm that what I understand and how I just said it is indeed correct, and that's why we're continuing it to next meeting. Thank you.
I guess the only thing we would have is an open invitation for people to have an opportunity to weigh in prior to us approving.
But I think they need to know what you're talking. I mean, just to say come without knowing.
Exactly. That's what I'm not quite sure how you tell them to come without being able, because we haven't given them the facts yet. I mean, that's kind of what the protest period's for, right?
Well, the deadline for Bay News is
Tuesday
for the following week, though. So if we got something to them by the end of the day Monday, then we'd have time. But I don't know. I mean, it seems to me an opinion piece or something like that in the Bay News or a letter to the editor or whatever you want to call it would be the way to go. But I think it has to have substantive information in it. It can't just be,
right,
you know, that we're thinking about doing this. And quite frankly, I don't have time to write it. So.
Yeah. How about the idea I'm thinking of is just put together an ad hoc committee of myself and another director to investigate it, to see if we can get something out. And see if it makes sense. I mean, it's too much to think about right now.
All right, since you and I are the two chairs of the FAC, I'll go.
All right.
I just can't stand the void. I got to jump right in.
Have lunch with Jack Beerwood.
So, okay.
We haven't had a vote yet.
We still.
I thought we.
Nope. On B. You have a motion.
Not on the. We haven't had a vote.
We need a motion on B.
Okay.
No, we have a motion.
I mean, we need
a motion. Now we need a vote. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, we had a motion. I'm sorry. Vote, please.
Vote. Director Ohilski.
I didn't make the motion. Oh, yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Director Wright.
Yes.
Director Boga.
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore.
Yes.
President Mudart.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, on for 12C.
Now my time's up.
Okay, I've got to. All right, let's have a report for item 12C, please.
Okay, this item. Do you want to do it? Go ahead.
We're in a tag team, I guess.
Go ahead, Anne.
This item requests that President Mudart appoint an alternate member to the Finance Advisory Committee. At this time, there are 5 voting members with an opening for the alternate. A special vacancy notice was posted in accordance with the district bylaws and rules of decorum. And one application was received from Mr. John Eric Storm. We're also requesting that President Mudart appoint a subcommittee to the Utilities Advisory Committee to revise the District 2, the District Code Title II regulations which pertain to water. And also, after the appointments, we request that the board ratify your appointments.
Okay. Do I appoint first, or do I go to public comment? Or bring it to the board for questions.
Indicate that you're who you're going to appoint, go to public comment, and then get your motion.
Okay. It is my intention to appoint John Eric Storm to the Financial Advisory Committee as alternate, and to appoint Noah Evans, Aaron Floyd, and David Vogel as a UAC subcommittee to revise the district Title II regulations. Now we will go to public comment on this issue. Seeing none, we bring it back to the board for any further discussion.
I'm waiting for the appointment. I'm ready to confirm.
Okay. I've already.
I'll move to confirm the appointments.
Okay. So we'll have, yes, Baltimore. Director Baldwin.
I second it. I don't want to give him a chance.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
President Mudart?
Yes. Okay. So that's the appointments, and that's the ratification as well?
Yes.
All right. With that, we're going to move on to agenda item 12D. May I please have a report?
Okay. Attached is a notice from the CSDA calling for nominations for a 2-year term on the CSDA Board of Directors. So any independent special district is eligible to nominate one person, a board member or a general manager for election to the CSDA Board of Directors. And the deadline is to submit is May 24th. Right here it says Region 4 seat B incumbent is Tim Ruiz from East Niles Community Services District. He's running for re-election. So I'd like you to consider nomination, and if there's a consensus, just recommend.
Okay. Yes.
I can tell you that the Pomo Community Services District nominated Bob Blair. Mr. Blair has served on that committee before. He very much wants to again. I only bring that up as to a neighboring community services district.
Okay. Any other questions from the board regarding this? Okay. Any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, bringing it back to the board for any discussion. Anything? If not, I'd ask for a motion.
Motion to
nominate. You don't have to nominate.
I don't.
We don't have to.
We don't?
We don't have
okay.
to.
So the... All right. So there's...
If no one makes a nomination, then there's no
okay.
motion.
All right. No motion, no action, nothing. All right. That was easy. The clock's moving backwards now. Okay, we're going to move on to agenda item 12E, please. And
okay, on this item, there. This is a vote for the San Luis Obispo Local Agency Formation Commission Special District Member. And three individuals have been nominated to fill the vacant LAFCO special district position, currently filled by Marshall Ohilski, and the term expires December 2014. So you've got three nominees here: Marshall Anthony Calvans from San Miguel Community Services District, Brian Krakowski from Port San Luis Harbor, and I want to go ahead and make a motion to.
Well, have any board questions on the report?
I'm prepared to give a campaign speech.
I'll make a motion that you don't.
I second.
Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, have a motion.
Okay, I'll move to nominate Marshall Ohilski. And what's that?
To vote for me.
To vote for you. And what I think is important is that Marshall can spread the goodwill of this CSD to other members of LAFCO so that when we need their assistance, mm-hmm. their assistance in years to come, they'll remember us.
Yeah, I'll second that.
I just want to point clarification. This motion is to vote for right. Marshall Ohilski.
Okay. Yes. Right.
That's why I'll second
that's right.
that.
Yeah. Okay, we have a second.
Can I vote for myself?
And...
Yeah. Can we get a second?
Let's, I do.
Yes, we have a second. So nomination by Director Vogel, second by Director Wright, and we'll have a roll call for the vote.
Director Vogel.
Yes.
Director Wright.
Yes.
Director Ohilski.
Abstain.
Vice President Baltimore.
Yes.
President Moodhart.
It's already carried. So
yes.
You don't know.
Okay.
Congratulations on our vote.
Yay.
Yes.
Thank
you. 2 weeks from today, I have
okay. I'm going to find my agenda up there. All right. I'm going to do that. So. Let's see, we have any requests for future agenda items from directors?
Well, I got a question. It's not a future agenda item per se, but the nominations for special district is just left open, and it doesn't go until May 24th. So we still have the opportunity at the next board meeting to nominate, should we decide to do so.
Correct.
Okay. I don't, it doesn't have to be agendized.
Well, no, it needs to be agendized.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So would you like that agenda?
No, nope, not yet. Not yet.
Are you thinking about it? I'll nominate you right now.
No, I'll second it.
Okay, closing board comments. Any volunteers to go first?
I'll just say, don't forget the chipping week, I guess it is a better description of it. And there is a form, and I believe it is going to be on the website too. And you need to get to South Bay Fire Department by May 28th. And it's a good opportunity to get rid of some of your large pieces and brush and recycle it back into chipping. Thank you.
And I'd like to point out, again, what Chief Vanaris had mentioned, that they're doing a hazard abatement project and are leaving chips for the community to pick up at the end of Rodman and Travis. So if you need chips and you don't want to wait till
chips?
The chipper week, they're at the end of Rodman and Travis. Wood chips.
Not poker.
Poker chips?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you don't mind, people have always been curious about my brother John, since he's your regular district legal counsel. John is back from Phoenix and is back at his house continuing his recovery, and he'll be back, I hope, within the next 6 months. So that's the hope.
Good.
So I'd like to thank you for your vote, even though Leonard had a ruminate over it. I'd just like to mention one more time, Phil, the 25th anniversary of Phil Vanaris on our fire department. I mean, I didn't realize he had been involved with the Cal Fire for 25 years, but I think that's a big accomplishment. 28. He's just being recognized for 25. But I know Phil's widely respected. I know Phil, and I didn't want to say this when Phil was here to be too embarrassed, but I know Phil's widely respected in the fighting community, and I think we're very, very extremely lucky to have him on staff here, heading up our fire or our station here. So I wanted to express my appreciation to Phil and just acknowledge his accomplishments and achievements one more time.
We should give him a special CSD.
Mm-hmm. 25 swans.
Yeah. Do you have any comments, Director Bob?
I just want to again acknowledge the volunteers for the subcommittees. We are lucky to have such knowledgeable members in our community on our committees, and I really do appreciate them. I see it on the EAC, now I see it on the utilities, and it's confirmed with our talks at the board meetings that the financial committee also has them. And also want to thank the community for their public comments. It's a good community.
Okay. I'd like to give a little notice. There's a business showcase here at the community center. I think it's the 26th, Friday the 26th. Do you know, Richard? It's scheduled. Is it the 26th? Week from Friday, business showcase here at the community center. It's a good chance to come and see who's doing business in the community, and get to know some of the people that run the businesses. The other thing I wanted to do is congratulate Jerry Walsh on Volunteer of the Year.
Person of the Year.
Excuse me. I mean, she does quite a bit in this community, and is very, very much appreciated. And I know she likes to stay under the radar, but this is our time to really show how much appreciation we have for her, and you know, organizations like People Helping People would be in real big trouble without her work. So congratulations to her. And with that, I hope everybody has a good 2 weeks, and we'll see you back here.
I need signatures from